Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. I'm so glad you guys are tuning into this episode. Whatever it is that you're dealing with today specifically or going through at the moment, I just hope that your takeaway from this episode is going to give you what you need. Is it hope, inspiration, validation, some tips on how to treat this or detox more affordable? Whatever it is that you need today, I hope that that's what you get from this episode. And if you want to continue to help me share my voice and our voice in the community, please go into the about of this podcast, scroll to the bottom, click on that donation link. Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. And if you've listened to my podcast for all the years that I've been doing it, you know that my number one mission is to give hope and inspiration to those that are out there battling this disease. And of course, along with that comes some great resources and tips and all the other stuff. But I'm just so passionate about making sure that nobody loses hope during this journey, because I lost hope. And I thank God every day that I made it through and I'm still here. And oftentimes that is not always the end of everybody's story. So today, my guest, Michelle, she is joining me and it's going to be a little bit different. And I hope that you guys can understand why I chose to do a little bit of a different episode this time. Of course, Michelle went through Lyme disease. She had her journey. She has her success story. She's doing really well. But her late husband, his story didn't end as well. And I had the honor of meeting my guest last month at the ILADS convention in Texas. And I just connected with her and my heart went out to her. And she has since, with some family members, she is part of and on the board of a fantastic nonprofit. It's called Northeast Lyme and Associated Diseases Resource and Foundation. And she is like me. She is on a mission to have our voices heard. And I just really felt drawn to her and just wanted to have her on my show. So again, part of this story did not have a happy ending, but the other part of it did, and things that come from it are truly amazing. And so there's always something good that can come from something bad. Either God shows it to us brightly or we figure it out on our own, but either way, it always ends that way. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Please give me feedback. I always love hearing from my listeners. And I've got my tissue right here with me just in case I need it. So, Michelle, it's so good to see you again and welcome to the show. I'm so thankful for you joining me. And I know you really have to open your heart and be vulnerable to be able to share with me. So, I'm truly honored that you are allowing me to use my platform to share your voice. So, welcome.
Thank you so much, Tanya. I'm so looking forward to just speaking the truth about Lyme disease. There's so much to be said.
There really is. And, you know, I know you feel this as well. We have our voices now, right? We have our voices back because of the journeys that we've gone through. There are so many sick people out there that don't have a voice. And so we need to shout extra loud to cover all of them as well. And then hopefully one day when they're well, they will share their voice as well. Yes. So where do you want to start with your late husband, Tim? I know it was a journey. And so I'm just going to let you kind of pick where you want to start.
Sure. I'd like to start with the beginning. When my husband came to me and told me that he thought he had ALS. So what had happened was I went into tax season. And when I go into tax season, I'm a tax accountant. It gets very, very hard for me to be around. And, you know, it's a long hours starting in the morning, going into the evening. And I didn't realize that Tim was having symptoms of some sort, but he finally came to me and he said to me, Mickey, I need to talk to you about some things. And I said, okay, what's going on? And he said to me, I only can describe what's happening to me as if there's some evil or something inside my body that is taking me over. And I said to him, well, what do you mean by that? And he said, well, it migrates. Whatever this is, it migrates. It goes from my elbow to my wrist to my knee to my shoulder into my back. And he said, I just don't know what it is. I just feel like something terrible is happening here. And he said, I feel like my brother John. He said his brother John had passed away. He had ALS. So he felt like he was having symptoms like his brother. So I said to him, well, I'm going to call the doctor, his PCP, and have him go to the doctor on his own just to let her know what was going on. So that's when the journey began. He went to the doctor and he told her all of the symptoms. And she said to him, well, Tim, I'm not quite sure. She says it doesn't sound like ALS, but we'll do some testing on you. So she started doing testing and she came back with he had rheumatoid arthritis. So Tim then was sent to a specialist. So the specialist was again in a group that all the doctors knew each other. So he goes to this doctor as I'm still in tax season and he says, yes, this is what you have is rheumatoid arthritis. So when he would come home and tell me what the doctors had said, I said to him, well, that doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense at all. So I said to him, I have 2 weeks left before tax season ends. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to start researching things on my own. So he was now getting worse, failing, could barely walk, no energy. He just felt terrible. And I said to him, please hang in there. It was, I think back and I say to myself, like, why didn't I just, help him right away? But when you're relying on doctors to do the testing and to figure out what's wrong with someone, you're trusting in them. So I said to him, I'll go to all your doctors and we'll figure this out. The day that the tax season ended, I stayed up all night and I researched and researched and became my own and his advocate. I was up for hours and I sat there and I went, oh my goodness, it's Lyme disease. Because I remembered that Tim got bit by a tick in September of 2013. Now we're in 2014. So tax season ended on April 15th. Now we're in 2014. And I
So
said,
all of this research that you were doing, all these random symptoms that you're searching, and Lyme disease popped up. So you
every time.
immediately just thought, oh my gosh, he got bit by a tick
That's
in the
right.
past.
I remembered. I
Oh, thank
remembered that
goodness
he
you
got bit by a
remembered.
tick.
Yeah.
Yes. So we began telling the doctors that we thought it was Lyme disease. And his PCP's like, no, that's not what it is. There's no way it's Lyme disease. You'd have all these other symptoms. His symptoms, like I told you, was different things that he would feel migrating. And he had a lot of inflammation. His knee, his shoulders, everything began to get worse and worse. And now she's saying, okay, now you have to go to this specialist because his ankle was hurting. She thought he had twisted his ankle, whatever it may be, she was thinking. And he goes to this specialist and they put a boot on him. Now the Lyme disease moves up his leg. I may be getting a little ahead of myself here, but the Lyme disease was moving up his leg one night. And he yelled for me. Now, this is when I figured out that it was Lyme. He yells for me. I come running. I'm like, what's going on? Now, nobody still doesn't believe that he has Lyme. And he said, look at this. I literally, Tanya, saw the pathogens or the bacterial infection moving up his leg and into his knee. I go
Wow.
back to the doctor. They say, no, he's been tested now once for Lyme and he doesn't have it. I said, really? I want to test it again. So now his rheumatologist is testing him for Lyme, comes back negative again.
Which we now know, right?
I
That's
know
not
it's
who we want
Lyme.
testing. Yeah.
I know it's Lyme because I did the research and I was advocating now for him. And he believed me. And he's like, I don't understand why I'm not coming up with a positive test. So I research more. Not all of the testing is accurate. So you have to, this is down the road, but you have to actually find a lab that can actually get the readings correctly because there's a bandwidth, there's certain bands that are inside the testing. He was not even coming up with a positive for any of them. She said you have to come up with at least five to even have Lyme and so forth.
Yeah.
So I go back.
Sorry to interrupt you for just a second, Michelle, but I just want to kind of point this out for the listeners since we're on this topic of
Yes.
testing. So if you are new to Lyme disease, trying to get a diagnosis, whatever the case may be, now this is my personal opinion. I trust in three labs. There are many out there that do a pretty good job at accurately testing. Unfortunately, they are all cash pay out of pocket. But the labs that I recommend are Igenix, which is in California, Armin Labs, which is in Germany, and Galaxy Diagnostics. Now, those are the three that I recommend. I know that Vibrant does a pretty good job on some things. Again, my personal opinion, but the most important thing is please do not rely on the tests that your primary doctor is going to give you, a rheumatologist, and certainly not an infectious disease doctor because the testing is inaccurate. That's one of the millions of reasons of things that are wrong with within this Lyme community. So anyways, I just wanted to point that out.
Yes.
Sorry, go ahead.
Thank you for pointing that out. I'd like to also add into this that NELAD, the foundation that my family has started, is giving out grant money for these testings. So
Oh,
we
that's
are
wonderful.
partnering with Hygenics.
Oh my
So
gosh, I love it.
there's no age for anybody to apply for this grant. It's twice a year, January and July. So they'll be accepting applications shortly. And I highly
Yes, we need all the
urge
financial assistance that we can
to
get.
have
I love
people apply.
that. Yes.
Yes.
And listeners, as always, I will be sure to put the website, all the information that you need for this in the description of this episode.
Excellent. So we go back to the rheumatologist. And I said to the rheumatologist, I said, his knee is five times the size of his normal knee since he's been with the boot. Now he has the boot. He said to me, this still to this day blows my mind because he was so mad that I continuously said that it was Lyme disease. I did my own research. He said, you know what? He says, y'all looking on the internet too much here. I'm a doctor. He does not have Lyme disease. He has, now he's on his third test for Lyme because I made him do it again. Now he's angry. You know what? I still think about this every day. He took a needle and withdrew the liquid that was in my husband's knee. Pulled it out and put it in my face and said, this is not Lyme disease. This is rheumatoid arthritis. And I was set back. I went, oh, I mean, I was so angry. I said, I needed to calm myself down. I said, okay, I'm going to calm myself down. We leave the office. He drains my husband's entire knee. He had 5 vials of this. I hope you're okay with me talking about this, but it was a pus that it was just so thick, and I can't even tell you. And I said to Tim after, I said, Tim, there's something seriously wrong going on here that they won't admit that it's Lyme disease. Now I'm doing more research. So we go back another time. Now he's extremely fatigued. He's extremely with inflammation. He's extremely, every joint in his body ached. His shoulder is now failing. His knee is now failing. His ankle is now failing. He can barely walk. And I said, I don't know what to do. I was absolutely praying every day, Lord, please help me. Please help Tim. Please reveal what he has. And I walked into that rheumatoid doctor's office and I said to him, I'm going to say one thing. I know he has Lyme disease, and you're going to give him a test every single time we come here until we get a positive, because I know he has it. Again, angry. He says, I will do it one more time. One more time. And he says, then I'm going to ask you to leave. Because he was getting to the point where he didn't want us there anymore. And Tim was now conversing with his PCP. She was saying the same thing. Tim, you don't have it. So we proceed. One more test. We go home. The next day, Tim gets a text message. You have doxycycline at CVS Pharmacy. Now, this is 7 months later. We go to the doctor again. She said, this will be 7 days course and you'll be fine. Tim said, I don't think so, because I mean, this disease is so into my body right now, because we have, you know, it's been months. She's like, no, you'll be fine. She's finally admitting he has Lyme. The rheumatologist is admitting he has Lyme. Now what they do is they give him 7 days of doxy, and Tim is still extremely sick and it becomes chronic. And this is where everything flipped. We went to the infectious disease doctor because she didn't know what to do with him anymore. She said, I don't know why his inflammation's not going down. I don't know why Tim still feels like everything's migrating all over his body. I said, I don't know what's going to happen here, but I'm not going to tolerate this. So we ended up going to the infectious disease. She says, he'll take care of it. We go to the infectious disease doctor. He comes out with the book from the CDC. He says, I'll give you one more week of doxy, and that's it. Because that's what it tells us in the book. We go home, we do another week, and Tim's still extremely sick. And we go back, and you know what he does? He looks at Tim and says, you need to find somebody else. Tim says, oh, so I'm supposed to just go home and die? And he said, I can't help you. So everything just got flipped upside down. And I was beside myself watching him suffer. He couldn't lift his arm anymore. He couldn't lift his leg anymore. And he cried and cried and cried all the way home. I mean, it was just devastating to see what it was doing to him mentally. He said, Mickey, everybody's saying I'm crazy. And you're the only one that's believing me. And I said, absolutely, you're my husband. Of course I'm going to believe you.
Yeah.
And then,
I mean, it's hard enough that you had to fight so hard to get anybody to believe you that it was Lyme disease, right?
Yes.
And then you can't get the treatment for it because, yes, I believe I'm not a fan of antibiotics when it comes to chronic Lyme disease. But when you have an acute new infection, absolutely doxycycline is the way to go. But Not a week, not 2 weeks, not even 3 weeks. And I still,
Stop.
over the years, have had practitioners on my show, and they're the doctor, not me, right? But they still believe that 30 days is enough. And I disagree. It's okay to agree to disagree, right?
That's right.
I believe it's 6 to 8 weeks. And then even with that, I would throw some other herbal things at it, whatever you can do, because you have one chance to stop yourself from having chronic Lyme disease. And trust me, you do not want to get chronic.
Exactly. I think that because of the time passing and the misdiagnosis really caused this whole entire journey to just it was pretty bad. We continuously tried to figure out what our plan was next, and my cousin Darlene, who is the executive director of NELAD, her and I, this is a whole nother story. I'll try to tell you this quickly, but I had not seen Darlene in quite a while, of course, because we were both married and had our own families going on and so forth. And then my brother ended up running into her at a bookstore. She was at home. She says to her husband, "I need to go to the bookstore." He's like, "Why are you going to the bookstore at 8 o'clock at night?" And she said, "I have no idea, but I do need to go." My brother did the same exact thing. He was at home. He's like, "I got to go to the bookstore." They meet in the bookstore, and that's when Darlene revealed to my brother about the Lyme disease, and he said Mickey's going through it with Tim. And that's how her and I got back together. And she helped us find a doctor, a Lyme literate doctor. And we went on that journey. That started in July of 2014. And we continued through that journey for until Tim passed away in 2020. I'm not sure if I should be naming the doctor, but she did a wonderful job with him. We walked in the door. Now it's almost a year later, 10 months. And he walked in the door and she looked at me and she said, "I don't know what to say." And I said,
Well, all we really want her to say is to validate us, right? And then to
right.
say that I can help you. You know, there are treatments that we can do for you. And yes, please, absolutely. If you resonated with this practitioner, please do feel free to share their name. Just because there are, you know, practitioners that are Lyme literate out there, or that are ILADS approved, or whatever it may be, we always need to remember that we must be our own advocate and we must resonate with the practitioner that we're going to be treating with. If you do not feel comfortable, they could be a, you know, world-renowned Lyme doctorate and they've gotten everyone well. That's fine and great. But if you don't resonate with them, if you don't feel comfortable having an open dialogue with them, that doctor is not for you. Find another practitioner. There's not one form of treatment that's going to treat everyone, and there's not one doctor that is going to work well for everyone.
So we walked in, and she said to me, "I'm not sure what I'll be able to do for Tim, but I'm certainly going to try." Her name is Dr. Savage, and we began on the journey, and it was so chronic. It was just so, it just took over his whole body. He had inflammation, he had pain, severe pain through his whole body. He was not able to walk. He kind of needed to be assisted. He wanted to sleep all the time. So we started seeing Dr. Savage, and she believes in antibiotics, and she also believes in natural herbs as well. So she's a combo of it. And she started to, what was happening is now his memory was getting worse because he wasn't, you know, because time had passed and she thought it was now in his brain. So she hit him pretty hard with four antibiotics all at once. And he went through so much. He laid in bed for weeks and just kept praying and praying. And we kept going back to see her. She put him on all different types of medications. There's so many that I would be able to tell you, but it would take forever. And she ended up sending him to the Dean Center in Boston. They are actually a nonprofit as well that is working out of Spalding Rehab. As of right now, they've closed because the woman that started this program had Lyme, chronic Lyme, in a same similar situation as Tim. She sent him there. They rehabilitated him at the same time. His doctor was Dr. Zuptovich. She's one of the best Lyme doctors in the world. And they, as a team, brought him back to an extremely wonderful place. We got to enjoy life again. Tim has grandchildren, and we got to go to the games, and he was doing really well with all of the treatment. And he still yet had some things that he couldn't figure out that was happening to him. But as we were going along, Dr. Zuptovich was monitoring him as Savage was treating him. So we had a great team working on him. And she said to Tim, "I think you have Babesia." And she said, "Tell me about the episodes that you do have." He would have these episodes where he would go into a convulsion. That's a whole nother story. He would not go into the convulsions every day. It was at least once every 10 days, but he would shake so bad because he was extremely cold, and then he would get real hot. But he ended up having one in her office, and she brought him down to the lab immediately, and he tested positive for Bartonella and Babesia. And then that was when we now had to try to treat those two tick-borne illnesses as well. So
So a combo of
the combo platter.
combo, yeah. Call them the three Bs, right?
The three
Borrelia,
Bs.
Bartonella, Babesia. That's what I have. Overachievers have that, right?
Yes.
We're all in. We're all
That's right,
in.
Tanya. Yes.
Wow. So, okay. So now he's doing, some treatment. He was doing well. He's starting to have these other things. Now you find these other pathogens in his body. So he continues treatment. And I love that he had some time to
He
live
did.
some and
He
create some
did.
great memories with you
Yes.
and his grandchildren and do some things that he wasn't able to do prior to getting
That's
his
right.
diagnosis. So thank goodness for that. So then what happens? Like, let's kind of
So,
fast forward through all these diagnoses and the treatment. And I love it when practitioners can join and work together, right? You had a treating one and you had a supporting one. I think it's fabulous. I also know a lot of people that do a combination of traditional therapies and non-traditional therapies. I think that is fabulous as well.
Yes.
So
So the team at the Dean Center, there was Dr. Zuptovich, and there was one other that they advised him that Tim actually could now not move his shoulder and his knee. So I kind of fast forward in between that time period where Dr. Savage was getting him better to that point when he went to the Dean Center. But Tim wanted to get surgery done, and Dr. Savage would send him to a doctor. But as soon as they would see his inflammation, it was coming down because Dr. Savage was working on him. But they would say, "No, because you have Lyme, we're not going to be able to do the surgery." His arm was completely
And I'm
debilitated.
sorry, Michelle, what surgery are we talking about? Did I miss
So
something? I apologize.
that's okay. So Tim had issues with his shoulder and his knee
Okay, so
after
they were
Dr.
not Lyme
Savage.
related.
They
They there
were
was they
Lyme.
okay.
Yes. Yes,
Okay,
I
that's, I guess,
apologize.
why I
Yes.
was confused.
Yes.
Okay, so he wanted,
So,
they wanted to do surgery on his arm, his shoulder, whatever,
yes,
and realized that he was
the
too sick.
diseases debilitated him. And then that's when Dr. Savage got him back to a point where he was able to function, but he still had issues with chronic pain in his shoulder and his knee. And she thought that it was time for him to get those repaired because
Gotcha.
she
Okay.
felt like she had the Lyme under control. So during this whole time, he was suffering with this pain in his shoulder and his knee. He continued to see Dr. Zubtovich, and they both felt that it was time for Tim to get the shoulder and the knee done because nobody would touch him during that time period between Dr. Savage and the Dean Center because the inflammation was still there. She was sending him to different doctors, and then he got accepted into the Dean Center. So Dr. Zubtovich worked on, she said, Tim, you go to these doctors, you don't say a word to them about Lyme. Dr. Savage said the same thing. As soon as he s didn't say that he had Lyme, he found two surgeons to do his shoulder and his knee. So this is when he started to feel better, and then he had surgeries. So I think that the surgeries he came out of remission. Because
Yes.
a lot of times they say when you have tick-borne illness and you have surgery, you come out of that time when you're, in remission, and it brings it back. That's something that the infection starts again. They
Yeah.
you relapse.
Yeah, I've seen it happen so many times. Any type of physical or emotional trauma to the body. So, I mean, that could be a wide range of things, right?
Right.
Is what brings people out of remission. With that being said, I also am a firm believer that if you treat all of the layers, and you address all of the things that need to be addressed. And I'm talking killing, detoxing, mold, parasites, metal toxicity, nervous system, blocked traumas, emotions. It's like going through a grieving process. If you address every single one of those things and reach remission, I truly believe it doesn't matter what happens in your life. You'll be okay. Of course, you got to continue to support a strong foundation, right? I haven't treated for over 4 years. I've been symptom-free for over 4 years. I've had deaths in my family. Like, I've had a lot of trauma in the last 4 years, including breast cancer, and nothing has brought my Lyme out of remission. So I think it's just really a
That's
strong point to
wonderful.
make because people live in fear so many times, but if you truly address every layer that I just mentioned, you can get well and stay well.
Yes, I feel like because he was so past the point of the infections, because he was misdiagnosed, I want
Absolutely.
people to know there is hope. That's why it's so important to. This is one other thing that I'd like to talk about quickly. But Tim, after we realized the tick in September that bit him, that tick, Tanya, was not in him more than 15 minutes. And this is what I get mad about now. And I'd like to voice this, that is not true. My husband got three tick-borne illnesses, and that tick was in him for 15 minutes. Once we figured out when he got bit, Tim, I shouldn't say that. Tim was bitten several times through his life because he was a civil engineer. But this tick is the one that had all three diseases, this very last one in that September of 2013, which caused him to be ill. But what I'm trying to say is, Tim thought nothing of it. He took the tick out. He cleaned the area. He's been bitten several times. He did report it to me that day that he got bit. But like I said, we had forgotten that he got bit. But then
Right. And
Thank
that's a
the
really good
Lord,
point.
it came back into my mind that he got bit. That's when I
Yes.
discovered and figured out he had Lyme disease, but he also
Right.
had two other tick-borne illnesses. And I believe that a lot of the treatment was focused in on Bartonella because he did test positive for Bartonella with Dr. Savage along with Lyme through Quest. But he also tested positive for Babesia in the Boston labs. But you did mention Igenix. Igenix was the one that he ended up with, and it showed all of the tick-borne illnesses. So the period had been moving along. So time was passing. But I believe that because we were focused in on all the trauma to his body, the debilitation of what the disease did to him, and trying to get him to function and move his shoulder and move his legs, that, we didn't necessarily focus in on Babesia. But sometimes I think that in the end, and I don't want to say this wrong, but maybe the timing wasn't there, but he probably should have been treated more for Babesia, which Dr. Zubtovich was treating him with an herbal treatment for that. She had told him that it's very difficult to get rid of that disease. But so I think it was all of the different things that he had that caused the whole ending of the story of Tim passing away. But Dr. Savage thought maybe it was more the Bartonella in the end. She kept saying, I think it's the Bartonella, because what it does is it breaks down your blood vessels in your body, in your brain. And he ended up dying of a brain aneurysm during COVID. So, the story is, I could tell you for hours what we went through. The journey was 7 years. I saw him get better. I saw him smile again. I saw him thank the Lord Jesus Christ for his life and his family and his just the Lord's love. And he became a totally different person than he was before the Lyme journey. So there is something that always comes to good, right?
Yes,
God tells us
absolutely.
that. And
Absolutely.
he works all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And I saw that in Tim, and he thanked me. He thanked me several times before he passed. I believe he knew. I think that the surgeries definitely caused him to worsen and come out of a remission, but I did see him get better. And there is hope. There's hope for all of us with Lyme and tick-borne in the co-infections, all tick-borne illnesses.
1,000,000%, 1,000,000%. And I think that, just kind of going back to the beginning of your story you shared of his, he seemed to have progressed pretty quickly over
Yes.
7 months. And so
Yes.
that again just goes to show no one in this journey is the same, right? Because a lot of times it's little things over several years progression. And so it sounds like it attacked him pretty
Yes.
quickly. And it was, like they call cancer, you have a slow growing cancer, you have a fast growing cancer, right? Like I really think, and usually, generally, Lyme is a slow growing bacteria. That is why antibiotics, are designed for fast growing bacteria. So that's one of my issues I have with antibiotics with chronic Lyme. But it sounds
Right.
like for him, it was just a speeded up process, but I'm so thankful that he had some good memories,
He did.
before he was taken from us. And it's just another testament to why we share our voice the way we do.
That's
We've
right.
got to educate people. We've got to spread awareness. And if you're listening to this and going through this journey, know that there is so much hope for you, right? Because there's so many people out there advocating for you. And
Yes.
please, when you get on the other side of this journey, please go and share your voice because it is so important. It could save so many lives. So, Michelle, before we end, I'd like to, if you wouldn't mind, if we could just talk a little bit about your journey, because I know that you too dealt with Lyme, but you wouldn't have known it had your husband not dealt with Lyme. That talking about things and thinking about things. It's kind of like the guys meeting at the bookstore, right? Like
that's
there was
right.
a divine intervention there.
That's
and
right.
So I think that we learn a lot of things that way. And I know that you dealt with Bartonella. You had a lot of the rage. You kind of downslid into some not so great choices when it comes to how to deal with issues that are going on neurologically in our brain. So if you wouldn't mind just taking a couple of minutes before we end here to kind of talk about your journey.
Yes. So back in 2006 or seven, I can't give you an exact on that, but my dad had passed away in 2004. I was always a social drinker and I never had any issues. I was, you know, Tim and I owned businesses. We had two businesses, an accounting business and a construction company. We always were busy and, you know, everything was, you know, always just in fast pace and there was no issues. But then I started to feel strange and I couldn't figure out exactly what it was. So I thought I was grieving my father. Mm-hmm. But God has revealed to me recently that as Tim was going through his Lyme journey, he reminded me of this, that I actually found out I had Lyme as well. So I believe my Lyme was back in either 2006 or 2007. And I couldn't figure out why I was angry all the time. I didn't feel right. I was sleeping all the time. I had gone to the doctors, told them what was going on. They said, it's all in your head. I said, okay, it's all in my head. So here I am getting more depressed. My father passes away. I don't feel well. And I'm having these episodes where I was angry because I'm not an angry person and I couldn't figure it out. So I said, okay, then I'll just try to forget about this as best as I can.
It must be the stress, right?
Yes.
You're going through a lot,
the stress.
Your father's passing,
yes.
Your husband's illness, all this. And it makes sense. So not
yeah.
always do we get gaslit by doctors, right?
That's right.
A lot of times we gaslight ourselves.
That's right.
Oh, well, I'm tired because I have three little toddlers running around, or I'm tired because we do.
Yeah.
It's we really got to get in tune with our body and recognize
yes.
when things are
that's,
not normal.
That's, I like that, Tanya, because that's exactly how I felt. I know my body. I kept saying, so now I become a heavy drinker because I think that my
easy
father
way to
passes
cope.
away. I'm mourning. Nobody believes me that I don't feel well. Tim at that time didn't have the Lyme, but we were working several hours and he's even saying to me, what's wrong with you? So now I'm drinking and I'm drinking every day. Not only did Lyme disease, it totally changed my life because I started drinking and I consider myself as an alcoholic because I don't like to admit that, but it is what it is. But because of Lyme disease, because God has revealed it to me recently, which I could tell you my whole story, but he has brought that to me and God has showed me that I was with Bartonella then. I was having these rages because of the Bartonella. I was a hiker. I was in the woods every day. I used to walk and hike 7 miles a day after working several hours. So I would be in the woods always. In the morning, I do it, and I would do it at night. So I got bitten, but I never saw the tick bite.
Happens so often, yes.
And then I became a heavy drinker, and my whole life was turned upside down. But again, God used it for his glory because now I'm advocating for people. And Tim had told me, Mickey, you love so many people. You will be fine without me. You just speak your voice and let them know that this Lyme disease and co-infections are something that is not of this. It's not of us. It's been a complete, I don't want to say the wrong thing, but I believe that the medical industry is destroying us. And I don't understand it, but I know that we have to advocate for ourselves. We know our own body. That's what Tim used to say to me. Mickey, I know my own body. I know there's something evil inside of me. I knew my own body. I couldn't figure out why I was drinking so heavily. I just thank the Lord today that it was only for 2 years. But I asked him, why? Why did I have to go through that? And he said, to help others. So my life is exactly that. I'm going to help everybody as best as I can. I don't know how I can. There's sometimes that I'd like to say more to patients that I'm advocating for, but I can't. I just lead them to where the resources are. If anyone would, I would love everyone to look at NELAD.org, read our bios, read who we are as a family, and know that they're not alone. There is hope. And I look at you, Tanya, and I absolutely love it. I'm so thankful to the Lord that we met at the Lyme conference. It's a blessing to know you. I really thank you a lot.
Well, I
for
thank
having
you
me on your show.
Thank you for the tears. Thank you so much.
I know.
No, it is, and I believe that in order for people to truly be able to help one another and be so passionate about something, it's like we have to go through that journey ourselves.
That's right.
Because there are a lot of amazing Lyme literate doctors out there. But I believe the ones that have had Lyme themselves are a little step above them because, you know, there's a phrase, we say it a lot in the community, you don't get it until you get it.
That's right.
And so, yes, I think that God has used both of us in that way so
Yes.
that we can experience the journey so that we can better serve the other people in the community trying to get validated, trying to get proper diagnosis, trying to get proper treatment. It is not an easy journey. There is no part of it that's easy. But what I can say is that the other side of Lyme is amazing.
Yes.
And I know that there are a lot of people out there right now that are in the thick of it. I don't know if they've lost hope, they've lost finances, they don't know what to do. Let me just share some tough love. This isn't easy, okay? Whether you're a male or a female, you need to put them big girl panties on or them big boy pants on, and you need to step up to the plate and take back your life because
That's right.
no one is going to do it for you.
That's right.
There is a lot of resources out there. There's a lot of community help out there, but you have to do the work. Do you need finances? Figure out a fundraiser. Look into these organizations that help provide funding for treatment or for testing. There's a lot of resources out there, but you gotta step up to the plate. Find your why and decide you wanna live and get your life back. And I promise you, you can.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Michelle. Thank you.
Thank you, Tanya. Thank you so much for having me on your show. I greatly appreciate it. My heart is healing. And I pray for everyone that has any questions, please just let us know. And there's advocating people out there that will help. Don't give up. There's hope. And don't let the doctors tell you that there is nothing they can do for you, because there are doctors that are Lyme literate and they are ILAD professionals. I'm sorry, that yes, the ILAD professionals that will help you to get better. And like Tanya said, there's different ways of getting better, and whatever works for you, works for you. And I thank you so much for having me and just letting everyone know that it's going to be okay.
It is.
You just have to, work at it. It's very difficult, but you do have to work at it, and you have to advocate for your own self. You know your body.
Yep.
But you do find the people that have experienced it and have been through it, and you let them help you. Don't be ashamed. Just let them help you.
Yes. Amen. Couldn't
Amen.
have said that better. Yes.
I didn't know when I was going to say that, but yes, amen.
Yes. Well, Michelle, you've been just so generous in with your heart to share with me and the listeners, and I truly appreciate it. And you are just a shining star, because part of your journey didn't end well, right? Didn't end the way that we had it planned, and that is not what we hope for others. But still, there is a little silver lining to it, right? And that is allowing you to help others through sharing your voice and through the nonprofit that you're a part of. So I appreciate you doing that, and I appreciate you
Thank you
taking the
so
time
much.
to join me. Thank you so
And I know
much.
that, and I know that Tim is watching and helping all of us. So don't be afraid.
Yes, he is.
Yes.
I sure hope you listeners enjoyed that episode. Whether it's hope you needed, a little inspiration today, or just maybe some validation that what you're feeling, what you're going through is real. Maybe you needed tips on how to treat at home, ideas, thoughts, detoxing, whatever it is. I truly just hope it's what you got out of today's episode. That is my only hope, is just to give back to this community in any way possible. So go to the about of this podcast, scroll down to the bottom and find that donation link. Go ahead and click on there, and anything that you'd like to donate or offer is all just going to go to help to pay towards the studio cost.